Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Simcast. Yes, that's the show we're doing. My brain does not work no more. Words is hard. So, it is a Simcast. We're actually recording this a couple of days early because whilst my exalted colleague is back alongside me, he's actually not alongside me for the actual show record, which would be tomorrow, our time, yesterday for you lovely listeners. What is it you're doing tomorrow, mate?
I'm running around in circles. I'm doing athletics NASCAR.
He's doing a... he's running fast and turning to the left.
I actually am. That's the thing. I'm doing 5,000 meters in the Cambridgeshire Championships tomorrow. So I'm doing awesome. The 5,000 meters of Huntingdon. There we are. That makes it sound like a NASCAR race. the Huntingdon 5,000.
Yeah. Oh, and there'd still be about 80,000 ad breaks in that.
There would. There really would. I would hope there is because I get 80,000 breaks in doing it. That'd be great.
Oh, well, best of luck. And of course, by the time you hear this, dear listener, he would be passed out, fast asleep, or in lots of pain having completed it.
I am. I'm going to be in so much pain because it's going to be the first time in about 8 months I'm going to be wearing track spikes.
It's an actual track.
It's an actual track. So, yeah, this is what I mean. It is literally athletics NASCAR.
aren't they bouncy, those tracks?
They are, but in track spikes when you've got no padding at all.
So basically what you're saying is you're running the studded slick a la Swedish rally.
Yeah.
But you're doing NASCAR.
Yes.
Fantastic. What we're saying is we need a NASCAR oval in the Arctic Circle.
I'd do that. That'd be well cool.
I would pay to see that.
I mean, the reason why I wasn't on the show the other week was because I was running around Silverstone. I was doing the Silverstone 10K, which was great fun.
Hang on a minute. Because the circuit is 6.65 kilometres, I think it is.
Yeah, I did the old bridge circuit. So I ran down into Abbey and into Bridge.
Nice.
And going around the outside of someone in Bridge is a lot of fun, I can tell you that.
So, you can't do this in racing!
I can, and I will. So DRS, push to pass. Push to pass is a great thing to do in running.
it's frowned upon, though. Especially
it's probably frowned upon. It was, yeah, that was... Yeah, that was good. Got the cut back into Vale. That was funny.
Nice.
That messed up with some guy's head on the last like 3K. That was good fun. Yeah.
I mean, my only experience of doing that was when they first opened that the new circuit, and they held FIA GT1 at the time there. And myself and Jamie, a former Tora staffer, got to cycle on the track. And
very
goodness,
cool.
Goodness gracious me, there were some people taking it overly seriously. Like, really far too seriously. You know, they got the full all-over body condom on and the stupid tear-shaped hat and they're like taking all the apexes and knocking people, little kids on tricycles out of the way because they're more important.
I mean, fair enough. But
it's a bit brutal.
What I didn't realise though is the actual inside curbs. They don't look very big in.
Oh, they are
racing. They're like mountains.
Yeah,
they are mountains. I didn't realize that until running over those.
You don't run them, definitely not on a bike either, because
ooh,
your seat comes off.
Ooh. That sounds painful.
I may be speaking from experience. I was trying to adjust my seat up at the time, and I happened to start going over the curves, which was a really stupid thing to do. And in doing so, the seat actually fell off. I have also, in that same event, I have actually done the same. I have actually done the exact same thing as Lewis Hamilton.
Said that you're my best fans.
No. For I too have completed. I've completed 2/3 of a lap of Silverstone with a flat rear, with a flat tire.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. It's a bit crap when you realise that at the end of it, you're thinking, "Geez, I've worked really, really hard on this. I've put a lot of effort, great resistance training." Then you realise, "Oh, the reason being is the fact I've got a flat tire was probably because of my fat ass." But you know these things.
Lewis Hamilton copied you because you did it first.
Yes, I did.
So you're like the trendsetter.
And I did it on 2 less wheels. I mean, how god level is that?
Yeah.
I am the cycling goat. Just don't look like I'm wearing a bicycle. Very inappropriate place. I would like it known that I did regain the saddle and put it back on before I actually got back on. I did enjoy that.
Stop halfway, like you even had to let everyone give everyone a chance.
We rode into the pits at the national pit straight, and they were dressing down the Reiter Lamborghinis out the front. I got a lovely picture of them, and the Hexis Astons were parked out, and they were just doing the final polishing and all this, that, and the other before they put them on the back of the trailers or some such, unless they just put them out there to show off. So that was quite cool, cycling past GT1 cars, going, "It's the only time I get to overtake you." I should now be an inconvenience in front of you, and you should have to weave around me whilst I wobble into the middle of the road.
I'm wishing I had stabilizers.
Anyway, you've experienced Silverstone, I've experienced Silverstone, that's very good. If you guys have experienced Silverstone in new and unique manners, what's the point? They still do the Silverstone, is it a half marathon or full marathon they do there?
They do the half marathon still. I did it the other year. I haven't done it recently.
Because it's the prep for the London, isn't it? That's one of the reasons they do it.
Yes.
Or it used to be. I don't know whether it still is because the date keeps changing for one or t'other.
I think it is the prep. It's like one of the run up to the London Marathon.
Hardy ha ha ha. Hardy ha ha. But it's cool. It is cool though. I didn't actually done it though. That's really awesome.
I did it. I can't remember when I did it. About 5 years ago, 6 years ago. The Silverstone half.
When you were younger and fitter.
I want to say fitter, but I'm actually fitter now, actually, which is weird.
Anyway, should we? Because I mean, so that's your news. Anyone who's looked, is that my social media? I don't think I have. Anyway, if you've been paying attention to the last show that I did, you'll know that I was about to receive a puppy, and half the reason why I sound half asleep and words is hard is because I now have the puppy. 3 days in, and I want to kill myself. No, I don't. That's terrible. I don't mean that. Puppies is hard work. They don't show that in the manual. They definitely don't share that on Instagram. They only share all the nice, happy photos.
What's the most frustrating thing? Is it Riker? Riker. What breed is Riker?
Right. You ain't going to know what this is. Everybody, please Google this because they are absolutely gorgeous. Riker is a Nova Scotia duck tolling retriever.
A Nova Scotia duck tolling?
Duck tolling retriever. TOLLING retriever.
Duck tolling sounds like a Canadian gin and tonic.
Yes. Yes, but it doesn't bark and go, bark, bark, eh? He doesn't do that. nor am I his buddy pal. Or his friend guy.
So what adventures has Riker gotten up to that have been most inconvenient for Matt?
Honestly, just at the moment, just not knowing what he's communicating. The communication is not forthcoming at the moment. But that is fine. It'll come. It's all fine. It's just building the bond, and we learn from each other. It's like this amount of people who said, "Oh, it's like having a baby." I said, "Yeah, if babies run around the house eating stuff at 8 weeks old, then yeah, it's absolutely like a baby."
All your soft furnishings now.
No,
not safe.
No, he's at touch wood. He's actually been very good. He has been very good. It's just the toll it takes on, like the light switch from your former life to your life now, or certainly your life whilst in puppy mode, is quite huge. And I don't think certainly nothing I've sort of looked at or seen or anything like that really kind of covers that. Everyone goes, "Oh yeah, they're all cute and they're cuddling, they're soft and they're furry and oh it's so lovely and bloody bloody." Yeah, great.
It's okay. Just hard work.
It is. But she's fine. And that's you know that saying, you get out what you put in?
Yeah, and you get a best friend.
Yeah, he'll be marvelous in like, I want to say less than a year, because that's far less depressing.
It's going to fly around though.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, Riker is here. He is the newest member of the Hunter clan, and he will be exploring the world. He's exploring the world via the wonderful papoose at the moment that Steph has, which I shall be trying soon. So he can sort of see what's what, and then once he's had his second jab in 4 weeks, he will be on the ground and happy as Larry.
Fair enough. Love it.
Yeah. Anyway, should we talk about some... So we've talked about
racing.
See, I'm not entirely... Dear listener, I'm not entirely guilty, because he's talked about his running and I've talked about my dog. Let's talk about...
I made it into motorsport. I did athletics NASCAR, so...
You did. Actually, we've done ice racing, because I've had him skidding around corners, because, of course, we've got wood floors. So
you've done, like, trophy dog Ross.
We've had a bit of a drag strip as well, up and down the lounge. He even does the pre-tire warm-up as well, before he actually, like, starts coming towards you.
All the feet pattering on the ground, you just, like, release. Is it like a pullback car, you know what I mean? Like...
Yeah. Anyway, So we have actually got some news, which normally obviously gets saved for the American lot, which is, it's unfair, isn't it, mate?
It's unfair, because we have to fill it with
we have to fill it with nonsense,
absolute nonsense. Yeah,
this is why you listen to the American show for facts and figures. You listen to us for the crack, and that's about it, really. And that's fine. You know, it's a nice balance that we have. But we have actually had some three big bits of announcement, one really cool picture, and some other interesting news that's come out, which we shall move to now. The McLaren 7. So I can't remember if we knew this was coming or if we hoped that it was coming but wasn't entirely sure when. But the McLaren 720S GT3 Evo has now come to Assetto Corsa Competizione for free.
I like free.
Which is very cool.
As an ex-student, I like free. Free's good.
Say again, mate?
As an ex-student, I like free. Free's always good.
Free is definitely the student price. It's true. It's also more legitimate than the five-finger discount.
Exactly.
The secret ingredient is crime. So the patch also altered the balance of performance around Mount Panorama and Paul Ricard. And the Honda and the Bentley have seen enhancements particularly, which is interesting because in the Bentley doesn't really race anywhere, I don't think, anymore.
It's kind of petered out into nothingness at Bentley.
Well, I know there's a couple of privateer ones that kind of, like, you know, wave the flag a little bit, but yeah. Can I just say I have now been to Crewe, because I stayed there before picking up Riker. Now, I may have seen only a very specific bit of it, but wow, Crewe is an interesting place. So yes, there's not many Bentleys racing anymore, so it's interesting that they're still doing BOP for that. It's more interesting. Someone's going to have found that transition funny. It's more interesting that they've sort of worked with the Honda, because I noticed that the Hondas are now doing the, I'm going to get it wrong, the GT European Sprint Championship, AWS, powered by that and other things. There was two at Brands Hatch, and I was gutted, because I would really like to see the Honda NSX. And it is really cool that they've added some specific BOP for, like, Panorama, Mount Panorama and Paul Ricard as well, mate, I'd say. Yeah?
Yeah, I like that they keep, like, adding to ACC. So, like, as the years go by and the cars get older, they tweak the cars and then they add, like, an Evo set, like, Evo bits to it and then rebalance the car. I think that's really quite cool.
Honestly, I think the BOP that the SRO works to is probably, I mean, it's bang on. It's going to be very interesting to see how the version that the ACO comes up with for the WEC next year, like, works to that. If that makes sense, because the SRO have produced such a strong, and you think every race that the SRO have overseen this year in particular, I mean, pretty much last year too, but this year in particular, you've normally got three or four, maybe five brands in the top 10.
Yeah, that's more. Yeah, I like that as well, because obviously everyone would like that, but I like that they address it really quickly as well.
Yeah.
And it all stems, like, straight away from where, like, the cars are actually manufactured as well. So when they built, for example, like the 296, the Ferrari, they wanted, like, Ferrari themselves could have gone one particular way with their design of that car, but they had to move. I was reading an article. They had to move, like, the engine block. I think it was, like, an angle at about 3 degrees just so they could get a specific amount of rear diffuser to compensate for the rules, because that would give them more of a advantage, which I thought was really cool, within the framework of, like, GT3. Bit of nerdiness there for you if you're ever interested. It's the same with the Porsche as well, when they brought the 992 out as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. although I have to say, of the two cars that you've just mentioned, the one I'm most impressed with, and actually the one I'm most impressed with in ACC, is the Ferrari. It's such a good looking thing, and having, okay, with the pad driven it, it's very good to drive, very easy to drive.
That's had some more physics changes as well, actually, in this new update as well, actually.
More physics changes. Awesome.
The Ferrari does, yeah. It's got steering lock up to 400 now, I have read. And also ECU maps as well have been redone, which is good if you're trying to sort of prolong fuel and engine mapping, and then also, like, your traction controls and things like that, which is cool. So they've sort of made that a bit more realistic to the real car.
Steering lock set at 400. So, with me being an idiot, what does that mean, do you think?
Me going back to racing in Forzas and things. It's like the steering lock
It's like lock to lock is 400 degrees.
Right, I got you. Okay, I didn't know if it was that remote sport related thing, but that's fine. I understand.
Yeah, I think that's more aimed at pad users, I think.
Fine.
Because then you can get more sort of like swing on your... Sort of, do you know what I'm trying to say? Like on
yeah,
your,
yeah.
Because I can't see you doing if you doing more than 180 degrees on a wheel, because you sort of... You're already around there, sort of thing. I can't see you. The only place I can see you even doing 180 degrees or more is like the hairpin at Macau.
Yeah, because I'd say all the lows hairpin at Monaco, but they obviously don't race GT3 there.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, Macau's a good shout.
Or Poe. Poe's got a really good hairpin, if I remember.
Aren't they running a 24-hour race there soon?
At Poe? I don't know, but I'd love to go.
I think it's a street race. It's the part of the 24H series. I'm sure they announced it recently that there's going to be a 24H race.
Oh, that's La Real. It's in Portugal, that is.
Oh, Villarreal.
Yes, that's in Portugal.
That's where the only reason I even know that place is because I randomly put Eurosport on a few years ago and WTCR was there.
Wasn't that where they had that massive crash? And like everyone stacked up going up this... thing at W.
Yeah.
I remember there was a massive crash, I think, at this where World Touring Cars. But it is World Touring Cars, so there's always a massive crash.
Well, yeah.
Mostly with Rob Huff in it.
It was back then, yeah. So that's really cool. It's good we're starting to see some... We're still seeing little tweaks here and there. And obviously, we've still got the GT2s to come at some point too. So that'd be quite... That would be... I'm pretty awesome. Looking forward to driving those. I really am.
How old is ACC now?
Oh, blimey. That's a good question.
2018?
ACC is how old?
I think it's 2019.
Just went AC ligament. That's not the same thing at all.
I think it's 2019. I could be wrong.
Assetto Corsa.
But the reason why I say that is that if it's 4 going on 5 years old, and I know they only have a select number of cars, really, but they have quite a selection of cars, because like every car now has one or two iterations of it now. But everything's getting redone, and I think that's really good from them, because I can't think of any other game that's had that much attention. From the developer rather than other.
So it came out. It came out in 2018.
Yeah, thought it was.
It's not bad.
Good. That's pretty good, I think.
It's good innings.
But yeah, hats off to ACC for that.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, this is what you need more from the sort of like the you know the big two on consoles. I think it's just. Have one title, but really support it for like a good few years.
For the life of a console would be really cool.
We'll just expand it and build it up. It's like with the F1 titles, which they have annual releases. Okay, you know, because that's just like the done thing, I guess. But what I think would be better would be to have F1 the game, starting with whatever year you start that with, say 2023, and then each year. You patch in the following year's cars as a paid for DLC, say 15 quid, 15, 20 quid, or whatever. And just build it so what you end up with is almost like a library of Formula One cars.
The graphics is you go back to F1 96 all the way go to like PlayStation 1 graphics.
That'd be cool if you could put a filter on as well, wouldn't it, and have that.
It goes to like proper like 64-bit.
Yeah. I quite like that. But that, I mean, I think that'd be, because that's why I loved F1, what was it, F1 Challenge 9902, which EA brought out, because you had 99,000. 4 years worth of Formula One in there. But it was so moddable that I had it. I think I had every F1 season from about 1985 to... Oh, God, when was I still playing it? 2008, maybe? 2007, 2008?
You could do like a proper career of the driver going all the way through.
Yeah. But then, you know, and like, yeah, and you add in the, you know, the F2, F3, it's not called Formula Woman now, is it? That, whatever it's called now, in there as well, which is, it should be in the Formula One game, really, if we're honest, it should be there. Porsche Supercut, maybe. But then just build it through, and you end up with this full F1 museum, effectively, from the year you start it to whenever he just, you know, developer gets bored. And
I back that, because I think you'll create like brand loyalty as well, like more so than ever, because,
well, yeah, because people will stick around to want to. And the thing is, we know from looking at how the communities work in AC and places like that, you can mod graphical updates. You can put those in the game. You just have to want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so if that, unless there is a absolutely substantial reason for wanting to move to a new game engine or anything like that, I don't see why, which I don't think they really do. Yeah.
I can't think of why. Yeah, because you just keep pumping into your game engine, and then until you exhaust it, which normally coincides with a radical change in like a console or,
yeah.
But then PC gaming is generally, you just put more, like you just add more content to your PC. You do not, like, they just get better, not the actual, you can still play the game.
Well, vanilla AC looks absolutely nothing like AC with Soul using CSP and a couple of the, like, you know, the PP filters.
Exactly. So it's, you know, I think there's room for that rather than, and there is games that, non-sim games that do that, with one of them that really does annoy me, but it begins with F, but they just keep having like season passes and game passes, do you know what I mean, that like they add, yeah, more stuff to the base game. And yeah, so I think there is room to do that, but the problem is that nothing's going to beat, no developer is going to be, in my opinion, better than the community it's going to serve, because the community will always have something, what it wants. It will create what it wants, if that makes sense.
Well, certainly if they're engaged. The thing is, if a community is engaged enough with the title and the developer's given them the tools with which to do it, then, or, you know, or made the base game as accessible as possible to do it, then yeah. Yeah, you know, Assetto Corsa has no right being as good as it is today, really. Not, you know, given how old it is.
Exactly. It's only been renewed, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
how many, like, Assetto Corsa base of what it is should even probably be on like Assetto Corsa 4. The amount of, yeah, like updates and, do you know what I mean? Like, how much like reiterations it's had in itself by people putting love and care and sort of just.
Well, it's like it never launched with rain, but there's rain. You can get extremely good rain effects for it now. It's called rain effects for it. And those, the physics behind those rain effects and how they actually look and, you know, react with your vehicle and you know, track furniture and buildings and stuff like that, I would say is probably over and above what a lot of professional release titles, you know, put out there.
And that just shows you where, like, people want what people want, if that makes,
yeah,
sense.
Yeah.
And how they want it as well. Because if I was playing a sim game and I was racing, for example, in Spa 24 Hours and it suddenly had a massive downpour in the last half an hour of the race, like it did a few years ago, I want to be absolutely terrified.
Yeah.
To go up Île Rouge and Radion and things like that, and down Île Rouge, up Radion. And I want to be absolutely terrified that I'm not going to bin that car in the last 30 minutes.
Yeah. You want the full driver skill experience.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm.
and then win with Porsche. That's how it should be.
That's a pipe dream, mate. sticking with a tenuous link here, the FIA, Formula One, FIA, it works for my head. Literally today, as we record this on the Tuesday, May 30th, iRacing Formula IR04 is to be rebranded to the FIA F4 in season 3 2023, which we believe is coming on June 6th, which is next week. Oh, guess what? The boys get something to talk about. Kel surprise. Kel surprise. But what a surprise. So the FIA has actually partnered up with iRacing for Formula 4. I mean, this is potentially huge.
It is huge, because they're partnering not just with an organisation or a company. They're partnering with a game. Specifically a game. Or specifically with a game. And one developer as well that does it in their own way. And yes, they do it very well. And I'm wondering if they're finding where, for example, where their most of their FIA superstar drivers are, if that makes sense, and what they're using.
Yeah. Well, certainly not Gran Turismo, which is what the FIA used to be partnered with.
Exactly. You've got your Verstappens and everything like that regularly race on iRacing in their respected esport teams. So I think this is a good strategic move from FIA to doing this. And I think it's really good for sim racing as a whole. Now, does this mean that everyone in iRacing now gets scrutinized by the FIA when they have track limits?
It's bad enough that the MSA might do that.
Do you see where I'm going with that, though? Does that mean that iRacing are going to now have to redo the way they do their track limits and things like that to?
What do you mean? Make it, oh, I don't know, realistic rather than, oh, I don't know, a bit stupid.
Yeah.
Mind you,
apart from when you go to COTA, because you can just fly off at COTA and just,
Mind you, COTA could learn. COTA did that to me. Mind you, our factor could learn from that a little bit, because still the Goddard chicane, but the final chicane at Donington Park. It is almost impossible to navigate that chicane without getting a track limit being evaluated. Warning come up. I just think, I know it's an MSV circuit, and I know they like their grass to be pristine and stuff like that, but come on. I can use some curb.
Yeah, you can't touch anything that's green, you cannot touch in MSV.
And I'm sure there's been a big debate about the actual Motorsport UK rules as regards track limits on midweek motorsport in various points. But all I will say is, if I can't even so much as fart at a curb without getting a penalty, I'm not having a good time.
It does detract from the idea of ragging the hell out of your MX-5
or a touring car, as was the
case. Or a touring car and things, because
that series renowned for track limit respect.
Yeah, the final chicane at Thruxton, for instance.
That's why. Well, actually, I say that's why they put the tyres there. The tyres have been there for a very long time. But yes, 100%.
But I mean, what other good things do you think can come from this, then, as iRacing and FIA, holy matrimony of marriage?
I mean, it would be very good to see. I'm assuming Dallara build the F2 and F3 chassis, as well as, still build, because I know there is an F3 chassis in iRacing already. I should know I have it. So it'd be interesting to see whether potentially we get updated versions of that car or those cars. Would be quite cool.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have FF4, F3, F2, it kind of makes sense to have some more F1s, maybe?
I think they've got to be really careful with F1 because of the F1 game itself.
I know there will be a specific F1 license as well, as opposed to these. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how the licensing works.
I think it's because it's Liberty Media. Do you know, because it's like their show.
American as well.
It's their show, if that makes in a tank itself. And then you'll have F2, F3, F4 as your FIA ladder system, which I think would be really cool in iRacing if they had all had their respected leagues and things like that, that you had to aspire to have a certain iRacing to go into as well.
Yeah. I mean, if you think we've already got the Mercedes in iRacing for F1, albeit that's under the Mercedes license. I've got a feeling that the reason why we probably wouldn't see, I mean, we're not going to see a full F1 grid. We know that's not going to happen. But the dream of having the sort of Simcade title that everyone can play, a la EA F1 2023, and the very much more Sim version for iRacing would be really cool. But I have a feeling the reason why we don't have that is because of something to do with how many like models you can have in an online race for an iRacing. I think there's a limit.
Yeah, I think there's like 6 or 7, isn't there?
Something like that. And I'm sure Jordan's listening and going, why don't you know these things? Except you're much more eloquently than that.
I haven't had an iRacing license for 3 years.
Yeah, I haven't had one for a year. So.
And I've never actually been on the track on iRacing.
Mate, come on.
I know. I've paid for like cars and stuff like that, but I've never actually driven them because I've just been on the pit wall.
You are the worst.
I had fun. I nearly won Le Mans, so. I nearly won Le Mans in 2019. Thank you very much.
Fair enough. but no, it's. If this is the first step towards something even bigger and more cool, then that'd be amazing. But I think there's more potential here than there was when the FIA were bandied up with Gran Turismo, because I don't really, I'm going off the top of my head. I know there was like an old F1 car in Gran Turismo at some point. It was a Ferrari, but there hasn't really been any contemporary F1 stuff in there. It hasn't been FIA GT anything for many years. So the GTs are out. There isn't really a FIA apart from the Toyota from the WEC.
You say there's not been a FIA GT. I mean, next year GT3 comes to Le Mans in
it does.
GT class.
It does, but I'm talking about like Gran Turismo Sport. So we're talking old history here.
Okay.
Yeah. So it would have been very limited. Let's say that there was limited WEC potential. In terms of like, you know, lining up with real life series that. But whereas, I mean, by having the F4 in there, you've got an FIA series straight away. Off, just there it is. You know, and it'll be the same if they add in F3 and F2. Quite irrespective of what they do with hypercar or anything like that.
Yeah, they. I think they've got really good grounds as well to do, because FIA do a lot of stuff with like young driver development as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think F4 will be a really good. It is a really good place to start with that as well, like a lot of karting people going to F4, don't they? So I think you've got a lot of grounds to do things like that with as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, that the potential behind the scenes is huge. You know, but we're not going to get ahead of ourselves because, you know, we go, oh my God, we're going to have the FIA WEC in iRacing, all the cars, all the tracks, it's going to be amazing. And it's not going to happen. And then we'll be impressed. But
we are. That's the thing. We are.
We I mean, are. Technically, we are because we know, well, we believe, as I indicated on the show recently, pretty strongly that the Cadillac is going to come. So that's two.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty certain the Porsche. Well, in fact, I'm sure the Porsche was said was that's got, that was coming. So that's three.
Because you've got the Caddy, the BMW, and then there'll be the Porsche because Porsche's amazing.
Yeah.
I
don't think they'll get the Ferrari.
No.
No, I think that's probably going to be factor two only. I just got a feeling that we're not getting the Ferrari in iRacing. Be good, but I don't think we will.
The thing is though, also you've got to think, like, when they do these big races and they want to have as many cars as they can represented.
Yeah.
What, like, for instance, like different types of car, like you were saying, because they'd want to have the GTP or a hypercar. They'd have the LMP2.
Well, the LMP2 is being phased out, isn't it? So, in real life, it's being phased out.
Ish. I'm sure Orica want to say something about that because they're winning everything and they're making loads of money.
Oh, yeah, because they're the only real manufacturer that anybody uses anymore.
You can't blame them. You can't blame them.
No, it's a good car, but it's just one make series. I can understand why they want the change. But the thing is, hypercar is almost so good. There's actually, as we sort of said, if there is this model limit for iRacing, you can't have a full WEC race soon because there's too many I can't even believe the words are coming out of my mouth. There's too many manufacturers participating in one class that isn't GT.
Yeah, and then does that mean we're then going to go into the realms of having a modern day Group C era when we've all got prototypes and everyone's just had that?
I can't remember what it was called. Well, it was basically the Group World Championship, wasn't it? The World Sports Car Championship, as was back in
the 90s.
Yeah.
Before I was around.
I actually have a few of those. I bought a few, like a downloaded version from Duke, and I've got those to watch. I've not watched a couple of them. Very, very good. I do like those cars a lot. They're very nice. Yeah, it's exciting though. There's a lot of exciting stuff, and of course, one of those things we can already tick off the box because we know that the Ligier JSP 320 is coming in the new build on June 6th, so next week.
That's the LMP3 car, isn't it?
That is the LMP3. Yes,
I love that car. That car has such a special place in my heart.
And it's a very, oh yes, because of course you spanned on it.
I did. That was a lot of fun. I nearly broke the drive shaft, but we don't talk about it.
That's a story for another time.
Yeah, don't like tired mechanics at like 11 o'clock at night when the gearbox needs changing. Silverstone's really hard on gearbox curbs, by the way.
Okay.
Extract gearboxes do not like Silverstone curbs, I found out. So
that's going to complement the as the aforementioned LMP2, which is the Dallara, and the BMW hybrid, which is already obviously in that, you know, the top echelon of of sports car racing on iRacing. And hopefully, of course, by the Cadillac V, I think it's the V Series R, I think is what it's called, the new one. So hopefully that'll be coming very, very soon. Yeah, so dentists of the world, rejoice.
Your car is coming to you.
At least this way, if you want to completely ignore the car in front of you during a wave by, it's okay.
Because you've got a reset button now.
Yeah.
You can practice how to like ruin everyone else's day and then restart the game and do it all over again.
If you do a wave pass and hit the car in front, you're gonna have a bad day.
No, never.
Content-wise, we don't actually know. Again, this is for next week's show, really, but we don't actually know what else is coming out. It's very unusual that we don't know by now what's coming out in the next pack for iRace. They've kept the cards very close to their chest in this respect, but we know that Aragon's been heavily teased, and we know that Willow Springs has been teased in one aerial trailer recently, or we assume it's Willow Springs, so it looks like it. But we don't know whether it's coming. We don't know what cars is going to be or what updates is going to be. We don't even know if we're getting rain yet, because, of course, that one's still out there.
Yeah, they did loads of sort of teaser shots of the rain the other month, didn't they, if I remember?
They did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
June the 6th release date is actually really interesting, considering that LMP3 car as well. Because this weekend is Le Mans test day.
Yeah.
And June the 6th is a day before qualifying and practice starts at Le Mans. So,
when's the road to Le Mans? Because the road to Le Mans actually includes
P3s. The LMP3s, exactly. So they are on Thursday, they have their qualifying, and they have a race on Thursday and then Saturday morning. Unless they race on Friday now as well. I can't remember. I haven't been there for a few years.
No. But that's it certainly blends in, doesn't it?
It is interesting, because if they release the Cadillac, which is in the WEC as well.
Yeah.
And that's its big like first Le Mans, Super Le Mans, whatever.
Mm.
That'll be pretty coincidental as well.
Yeah.
And are they going to start like teasering that they're going to redo other circuits around that would be in sort of a WEC championship as well?
I mean, the Spa definitely needs an update, let's put it that way. It's vastly out of date now.
I'm sure there's gravel traps in Spa that have come and gone now, haven't they?
Quite a significant amount of building work that's happened since as well. And that Vodafone sponsorship that still jars me every time I see it. I remember when this appeared on the first F1 game that this version of the track was built in. I'm just going to look back at our run of show, which we have broadly ignored for tonight, I might just add.
Freestyle!
Head up to the 50-minute mark. This is why our shows are so fun. They're just fluid. Like I said before, you listen to the Americans for facts and figures, you listen to us for the crack. That's what we're here for.
Exactly. And then when we actually get news to do, we just ignore it and don't even know what to do with it.
We sort of look at it and go, well, that's a thing that's happening. Cool. Thumbs up. Let's move on and talk about something else that's happening in our lives. So sticking with sports cars. I do like it when we talk sports cars. I really do.
They're just the best.
They are. Forza dropped an interesting one. So we've got another thing of stuff that we can talk about. Is the aforementioned Cadillac that we believe is coming to iRacing is also the cover star of the upcoming Forza Motorsport. It seems weird saying Forza Motorsport and not adding a number onto the end of it still. but that's fine. This is like the Forza, the sim racing, the car game equivalent of Star Trek 2009 in my head. This is the JJ verse of racing games.
Which Forza Motorsport are they actually on now? Is it
eight?
There we are.
This basically means it's going to be a Forza game, but with a lot more lens flare.
All out Forza.
Oh God! Don't give him ideas. There's a crossover. but I thought it was really cool that they've got that, because we knew that I'm pretty certain the DPI Cadillac was already touted to be in the game. The Acura, the DPI Acura, was already going to be in game. The Ginetta was already in game. And now this. And now we've got our first GTP in Forza. That's almost up to date.
Almost up to date, yeah. Which
Ginetta? It does. Sorry?
Which Ginetta?
The LMP1.
Oh. That is almost up to date then, for the standards anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that the car doesn't exist anymore is by the by, but yes.
I thought you were going to add a new LMP1 they're bringing out. It's the Aston Martin LMP1. All right, yeah. Okay. It's the AMR2. You're only allowed to do half a lap before it disconnects.
No, we're bringing back the new to Forza Motorsport, in brackets, this edition at least, the Lola Aston Martin.
Because that's the only proper car.
Yeah, the joke would be is I would drive the hell out of that car.
I know one person who will drive that without traction control, because he was mad. Because he was a mad lad.
It's I've been a bit down. I felt a bit down on Forza of late, because I sort of felt like that. We haven't heard a lot. We haven't seen too much. It's been, you know, news has been patchy. I mean. You know, you sort of do a bit of a shrug. Oh, Forza's coming out, okay. But actually, seeing the Cadillac is going to be there, and I don't entirely know what this car is. Forgive my ignorance. The Chevrolet Corvette E-Ray? Is that an electric Corvette?
It is.
Okay, that's weird.
It's you probably get like a free in the CD player. You get a like V8 noises as you drive past people, so you don't get like your car bricked as you drive past.
So, hang on a minute. So the date of that. So they are. So when Forza put this image out, they basically said that they were excited to confirm their cover cars for the new game. But they were asking everyone to tune into the Xbox Games Showcase on June the 11th. Just check the date. That would be our show.
It would be our show, wouldn't it?
It would be our show. Because it's our show, so it would be our show. We'll have Forza to talk about.
Hooray!
Hey! It's almost like Nick Damon when Formula One gets mentioned. well, they'll be doing... So a close-up look at the cars. I'm going to guess those two cars only. Maybe some others. And see a full walkthrough of our single-player career. During Forza Monthly on June the 13th. So, okay, so we're probably going to get an extended trailer then on June the 11th, and then a full walkthrough on the 13th. So, yes, expect some Forza talk the next time the Team UK come up. That means I'm actually going to have to do some research, blimey. I can just about manage that. Fine. I can do it. Can you do it?
I can give it a go.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm going to have to sit down and watch something and maybe make some notes.
How hard can it be?
Sorry.
It'd be fine. I'll just shout power every time, like, Forza makes like a ridiculous quote.
I'm just gonna quickly throw in for the last couple of minutes of the show, because Steve's got a bit faint again. He's obviously decided to walk out because I've offended him. Simicube is debuting its first dedicated passive throttle pedal. Is Steve there to make fun of this?
Passive throttle pedal.
Yes.
Passive.
So they have the active pedal, which is the fancy Dan one, which is utterly absolute. And I have to say, having seen quite a few reviews this now, astonishing in what it's capable of. As a brake pedal, it is astonishing. So you've got an active pedal and a passive pedal. And the passive pedal is basically a load cell pedal.
Right.
So it's.
It looks very cool. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, it does look very cool. It's basically black anodized. I'm going to go with aluminium. It's probably.
It's got a really, really nice price tag that I'm not so into.
So, yeah, which we'll get to in a sec. So basically, what they're basically saying is, as a two-pedal set, this is probably slightly more palatable than getting two or three of the active pedal, which is eye-wateringly expensive. So they wanted to get the active pedal out first because it allowed them to get way more feedback from the customer base and fan base first, to make sure that that was working as well, so that when they brought the passive throttle pedal out, you had a really good pair of it, which I kind of understand. It's coming with a 5-year warranty. Sealed ball bearings are self-lubricated. I don't understand how self-lubricated bushings work. It sounds dodgy, and I don't want Steve to explain it to me.
But it's fine. It's built like a tank.
Oh, well, there we go. That's what you want, isn't it?
It's built like a tank. In this day and age, that's all you need.
So the next time I'm traversing Eastern Europe, all I need is one of these pedals, and I should be absolutely safe. Marvellous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you've got self-lubricating bushes and bearings.
Oh yes. Oh, I do like it when my bushes self-lubricate. It's true. Dear Lord, sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Sod it. As a pairing, this probably seems, as I said, does seem a lot more sensible than getting two or three active pedals, which is just overkill. But it'd be interesting to see how this passive pedal, weighs in against like a Heusink Veld or even an Acetec, or even a Mozza setup these days. Obviously, Mozza's a big deal now as well. Let's talk price, because I want to hear Steve cry. The active pedal, as we know, is €2,158.80. Small wedge in it.
Yeah. It's more than my car.
It's not quite more than mine. The Simicube throttle pedal is coming in at €281, which is. Oh yeah, you kind of want to say it's quite steep, but I think the engineering that goes into most of the Simicube stuff, it's fair to say it's going to be built to last.
I should hope so if it's built like a tank.
Yeah. I mean, it could be built like a septic tank. It doesn't specify which.
What tank it could be. It could be built like a goldfish tank, couldn't it?
one nail and you're screwed. And you have a very wet floor. Which is quite disappointing if you've got self-lubricating bushes. if you want to buy a...
Put that as the show title, please.
We've got self-lubricating bushes. When Tim asks me, what's on tonight's show, we've got self-lubricating bushes.
I'm done.
Anyway, so the Simicube throttle and Simicube active pedal pack comes in at €2,279. Or if you want two active pedals and the Simicube throttle, so a clutch. Why would you want one of those as a clutch? And a throttle, it's €4,079, which, let's say, is an lot of money.
It's a
But there we go.
As a genuine stab in the dark, if I was to do sim racing next week, how much would I need to lay out on a sim rig, not a PC, just a rig? That means I'm not going to come last.
Well, if you've got self lubricating bushes, you won't. I mean, a P1X is 850 quid, say. A decent chair to go in, that's probably 400. CivicQ Pro is about 1,000. You could pick up a wheel for maybe, well, depending on what sort of wheel you want. If you go for something like a GSI, you're talking about 1,000. So that'd be that doesn't include your monitor, so or anything like that. So just the rig, and that doesn't. Oh, and I'm not even talking about peripherals, like, you know, if you want shifters or, you know, extra shifters or handbrakes or anything like that. But if you just want to get going, yeah, you're probably looking at about $5,000, I reckon.
Right. So if anyone needs a data analysis for sim racing, they just need to buy me a rig, and I'll be yours for a season.
There we go. There we go. But yeah, right. So and on that expensive bombshell, that was our show. We didn't even get to talk about how F1 2023's handling seems to have improved. But there's plenty of reviews online to talk about just that. We will be back in a couple of weeks' time with, guess what? Forza Motorsport news. In the meantime, have a lovely rest of your week. I've been Matt Hunter, and Steve has also been here, fading in and out of this universe, and I'm going to guess the warp?
Probably.
Well, there we go. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast, wherever you get your podcasts.